Erev Shabbos, Kodesh, Chazoin, Parshas Devarim, Chazoin Yeshayahu ben Amoitz. We're going to be giving Rosh Hashem a very basic shir in Yiddishkeit. Everybody knows this. We're supposed to be mechazik nekudas that we're supposed to always be mechazik in. No tremendous chadushim today. Maybe we'll have some stories. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Rav Shalom Shvadron, this is brought in the Sefer Doirish Toiv, brings from Rabbi Elia, and Rabbi Elia, I looked this up, in a few places in Leiv Elio, Rabbi Elia Lapian asked this question. The Novi Yeshaya comes with a big time to Klai Yisrael, and he says, Yoda Shor Koineu, every Shor knows who his master is, he recognizes his master, he walks to his master. Chamoir, a vusbalov, a chamoir, a donkey doesn't have the intelligence to know who his master is, but the chamoir still knows where his trough is, where his food comes from. Maybe he thinks his food is the master. He doesn't recognize the person, he recognizes the chefza, the food itself, but he knows where to go to get his food. Ami lo yoda, Klai Yisrael is even worse. They don't know. They don't know anything. They're worse than a shar, worse than a chamar. Yisrael lo yada. Yisrael doesn't know. Ami lo yisvaynon. My nation did not do any contemplation. They did not think about it. Frek Devar Lapian, a very obvious question. Again, he asks us a number of places in Leiv Elio. And he says that I speak about this often. So it's one of his themes. He says, Bishloimo, a shar and a chamar. It is in their nature. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was matbia in their nature that they know who their master or at least where their food comes from. But Klai Yisrael don't know. What's a taina on us? It's not in our nature to know. We have to work on it to get to it. It must be, says Avayi Lapian B'derech Dili Amusar, it must be that we're making a mistake. It must be that the teva of a yid, the natural teva of a yid is yes to know the Rabbi Yisrael Olam. If he would be misbeinin, he would know. He just needs to stop and be misbeinin. We used to learn in elementary school, in case of fire, stop, drop, and roll. We need to stop for a moment and be misbeinin, then we'll know everything. And yes, we have, and just like we have a shar and a chamar, we have it also. Actually, Rav Elia says, the reason why the Rabbi Yishalom made a shar and a chamar with his nature is they shouldn't wander off to the midbar. That's why they're domesticated animals, because there's Baruch Hu made in their teva. It's not that human beings domesticated them. It's in their teva, says Rebellion. If Hashem made it in the teva that they should know their master shouldn't wander off, so Hashem made it our teva is that we should not wander off from Him. But there's one tonight. We need to be misbinding. So the Pshar in the Pasuk is, Yod Ashar Kainei V'chamor Evus Balov Yisrael Lo Yoda. Why not? Because Ami Lo Yisbeinon, because they don't want to be misbinding. They don't want to think. Everybody knows that the Mesillas Yesharim writes that the Yetzer Hara tries to get us to never ever think, never stop and think. He says, like Pari HaRasha, who's a big remez for the Yetzer Hara, is the same letters as Ha'oiref. He heard that the Jewish people are considering leaving Mitzrayim. So what does he say? What's his reaction? Tichbada avoda la'anoshim al yishu v'difri shoker. Let the people work harder and stop thinking. Because if they think, then they think about going on vacation. And Pare's secret is to never give them a chance to stop and be able to think. Not to have the gelegenheit, the opportunity to think. He didn't want that. And Mesillas Yesharim writes, Ki Adeyahu, the Yetzer Hara knows, She Luli, are you some, and leave him come out, Kot Al Dachayim. If they would pay a little bit of attention with their hearts, just a drop of attention. Kimat Kot Al Dachayim. Vadai, Shemiyod, are you maschilim, li nochim, imaseim. They would, of course, immediately regret the way they're acting, regret the path they are traveling. Regret would overtake them. Until they would abandon all sin. But what does he do? He doesn't give you the opportunity to think. He doesn't want you to think. Because if he thinks, then if your person thinks, then the Yitzhahar is in trouble. And that's what Mesillas Yesharim writes in the next parak. He says it's very necessary. I see it's important for a person to put aside time to be misboinein, to think about his actions. And that is a taina on Klai Yisrael. A shar knows, a chamar knows, but you aren't doing his boinus, and therefore, you're not really being aware. Rebellion Lev Elio brings a few rise to this. One rise is a famous Gemara. The Gemara says in the Dharma Avram Ben Gimel Shonim Hikar is by Avram Avinu. When he was 3 years old, he figured out there's a Rabbi Yishalem. Avram Avinu wasn't black and tarnished and affected by the society and culture around him. He grew up in a cave. He was able to go out and he did his Zbaininus at age 3. At age 3 he did his Zbaininus. And at age 3 he figured it out because he wasn't affected by all the other garbage that was going on in his time. And this is natural thing. The littlest Zbaininus, even a 3-year-old, maybe he was a little bit of a smarter 3-year-old, but age 3 he was able to all figure it out. He brings a Moedek and Gemara. This is most of this, what I'm saying, is in the Chelik on Tshuva. In back of Lev Elio, the Vayikra Min Bedvarim, there's a Chelik Marechas at Tshuva. So most of it's there. But again, he speaks about this a lot. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, Daf Nunches, and it's an interesting story. I suggest you look up the whole story, because I'm only going to do part of it, what's relevant for this year. There was a fellow who figured out that from his 10 kids, only one of them was a legitimate child, and all the rest were not really his children. And what he did was, right before he died, he instructed that only one of them is going to be able to get the Yerusha from him. He says, only one. But he didn't say which one, so he only one. So they all start arguing, saying, I'm the one. After the father died, they all wanted this big Yerusha. So the Gemara says in Bava Basra, they went to Rabbi Benah. Rabbi Benah was, you know, attacked by these guys. I'm the real son. I'm the one who my father said should get the Yerusha. Rabbi Benah said, all of you take sticks and go whack and go hit your father's grave. And he will tell you who is going to be getting the Yerusha. They all thought that some nace is going to happen for Rabbi Benah. And they all went running. And there wasn't a single noise. Nothing happened. No nace happened. So they went up to Rabbi Benah. Rabbi Benah said, what's the matter? He said, I don't know, we hit our father's grave and our father didn't tell us anything. Rabbi Benah said, tell me something. Did you all go? And they checked. One of them hadn't gone. One of them said, I don't know, I can't hit the grave. I don't know why, I can't hit the grave. Rabbi Benah said, this is the son. They didn't even know. The children didn't know which was their father. They didn't know. They grew up in this house with this mother that wasn't a very kosher lady and with this father that wasn't even sure which was his own kid. Again, this is in Bava Basra. Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph, but it was something in the nature of the child to know and to recognize who his father is. And if Rabbi Yishlam made this by human beings, for sure our neshamas are built to know who the Rabbi Yishlam is. We should be able to figure it out. But there's a rule. There's a tanai. We have to over and not ourselves be blackened. Stop and be misbinding. Do a little bit of spine, is just stop and think. Think about what we're doing, not just keep living our lives as wonderful Jewish people without any teichen. We have to go over and look a little bit within ourselves. Here Rav Shalom brings a little bit more. Rav Shalom brings that we know in the Parsha, he says this from Rebellion, he says in the Parsha, we find that beginning of Devarim, it lists a whole bunch of cities. And Rashi says, like the Targum, that they weren't really in all these different cities. Some of them aren't even real cities. They're just referring to different events where Moshe Rabbeinu was giving Musar and Techacha to where Bnei Yisrael needed to improve their ways. So it's referring, when he says, Bamidbar, Barava, Bapara, and Merl Suf, all those things, etc. All those things are referring to events which they have to go along and be misayir from to do tshuva. So says Rav Shalom Hashem is Rebbe, back in the day, in time of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was enough, a little bit of a remez, because if Klal Yisrael would have heard more than the remez, then they would have fallen to pieces. They wouldn't be able to handle it. They would be so embarrassed. So Moshe had to give them all the Musar Derech remez. But in the time of Yeshaya, things fell so far that Yeshaya needs to give them scathing Musar, explicit, and say everything as it is, like it says in the Haftarah, other psukim. And what's going to be with us? He says that the Zohar HaKadosh says the reason we're called Ikvasa de Meshicha is Ekev is the bottom of the foot. It's the thickest skin part of the body where it doesn't really feel any pain. It gets bruised. It could walk on prickly things. and can get used to it. People, there are people that walk barefoot and don't feel anything. They get used to it, and the foot won't notice anything. And this is how we are nowadays, he said. We're ikvus and the Mashiach, we're so physical, we hardly realize anything. We need HaKadosh Baruch to go along and give us makis, stronger and stronger makis, to wake us up. We just don't get affected by the gentle little messages, by the remazim. So, the yisoid over here is that really the teva of a neshama is to imakir the rabbayin shalom. But we need to be misoyer, we need to wake ourselves up, be misbainin, and then we'll easily find it within ourselves. Sometimes, says Rav Shalom, the rabbayin shalom puts a person into a situation where it's a little bit of spayinus, he could wake himself up and know everything, even when he knew nothing, when he wasn't even a religious Jew. And he brings a very, very famous story of his, which he heard from a Baal Tshuva, who came from the communist Russia, Tishivas Ar Sameach, who received a letter from a friend of his from childhood, and he asked Rishalom to publicize it, and it's quite a famous story today. I think I read this probably first in one of Pesach Ron's books, the Maggid books. This friend was a sworn Bolshevik, believing in Lenin and Stalin, and that's all his head was filled with. And he went with a group of, with a platoon, or I don't know how you pronounce different types of soldier groups, to Afghanistan, the famous war that Russia had against Afghanistan for quite a while. And nothing really eventful was happening to their group of soldiers. And he started to tour. He would walk out, because it was quite boring. He would take little walks. He saw this tremendously big snake. Now, he was a nature lover, and he knew how to act with snakes around him. And he became friendly, if we can say, with the snake. He would pet it. He would bring him food. And the snake was nice back to him and never did anything nasty. One day, the group of soldiers, of Russian soldiers, where this Jew was there, this Bolshevik communist Jew, were told that they're moving to a different whole area. And he decided he wants to go say goodbye to the snake that he had visited every single day for one last time. So he went to the same place outside, far away, where the snake always was. But much to his shock, the snake now all of a sudden rose in attacking motion in a menacing way and was standing like a stiff, like a stick, you know, intimidating and ready to attack him. He was very, very scared, very frightened. He was mamish and sakonis nefashis, a very, very dangerous snake. But like we said, he knew a lot about nature. He knew that in this situation, you don't run away. You just stare the snake back in the eyes, no matter what. So he stood there, not moving an inch, steering the snake back in the eyes, for the benefit of the Europeans and the Canadians, not moving a centimeter. And face to face against the snake, for 8 hours they looked at each other. 8 hours! Each one staring in the eyes of the other one. After 8 hours, the snake just slithered away. He ran back to his camp. He realized that they had left. So he went afterwards to go track them to where the new place where they had gone to. And he saw that they were all dead. They had been attacked by the Afghanistan army. And they had been slaughtered. And not one of them was alive. The one who writes the letter says, he realized at that moment in his neshama that there's something called emunah. He never knew about the Rabbi Shalom before. He never grew up with it. He discovered inside. And he screamed out in Russian, I don't know how to say it. Scream out, Elohim, Rabbi Shalom. However you say it in Russian. And he felt a light from Shemayim. 8 hours, the snake had delayed him as a shliach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save his life. So there's opportunities left and right to save a person from Chas V'Shalom getting lost. Because you just need a drop of Mesbainin. There's so many opportunities just to be Mesbainin. One more story, very famous story also. Rishalom brings, I think I heard it from someone when I was a bacher who was there also at the story, at a bris in Cleveland. Someone spoke at the bris and said he had been at the actual story. But I'll tell you how Rishalom says it. He says he heard this story from the Kalva Rebbe, someone came from Russia also, and told him the story. He says there was a group of Yidden who were secretly keeping Yiddishkeit in Russia. And one day, a officer in the Russian army said that he had a son that was born a year ago, and he's been trying to do a bris milah, and he finally discovered that these group of religious Jews probably have an opportunity, probably have a mile to do a bris milah for them. And he warned them that nobody know about this, because if they find out that I'm an officer and I'm doing bris milah, I'm gone. But he wanted to do this bris milah for his son, who was already a year old. So he says, this person writes, told the Kal of a Rebbe, who told us Rav Shalom Chajon, we arranged in a small little house secretly where the bris will take place. We came there, the moil with a small group of Yidden, a minion. We made a sudas mitzvah. And after the bris, the baby was brought into the second room where his mother was. She gave him a kiss, and then she fainted on the spot. Literally fainted. Chalashed. When she woke up, she explained, my son is 1 year old. From the time he's 8 days old, we planned and we tried and we desired to make a bris for him. But every day, there was a reason why it didn't work out. We tried, we couldn't find, this didn't work, that didn't work out. So I made up, I'm not going to give my son a kiss, a hug, until he is gemalt, until he has a bris milah. So maybe she held him, obviously, nursed him, took care of him, but to give him an actual kiss, until he has a bris milah, I'm not going to give him one. And now I gave him his first kiss. After a year of caring for her son, she gave him his first kiss, and from such strong emotion, she fainted. This is the teva, even in communist Russia, with this guy who wasn't necessarily a from guy, but they have the teva, Klai's or the teva, to want to do Rasan HaKadosh Baruch, to get close. We just have to not let things block it. We have to just be misbeinin and wake up. And if we do that, we'll recognize the Rabbanu Shalom, and we'll be zeichet to the Gula Shleima, the Meher of Yameinu, the Shabbos.